And stories, well, they are what makes us as a race, as a species, the things we are. We can hand on knowledge. We can pass down stories from one generation to the next. And whether a story is real or fictional, it can still carry a great deal of weight. When it comes to the facts that can go into a book, well, often it will be something that you've learned as you've gone through life that then makes its way into some form of written work. And for the next person you're going to meet on BBC Radio Nottingham, Marion Shaw, it was certainly something that happened to her and to her mum that inspired a book called How to Handle Later Life. Good advice for us all. We're all approaching it. And Marion, I'm pleased to say, is coming to the Loudoun Methodist Chapel as part of the Book Festival and will be live in Loudoun between 2:30 past 3 tomorrow afternoon. She's loud and lively on your radio now. Hello, Marion. Good to speak with you.
Hello, Alan. Good to be here.
And so you've written a few books, but How to Handle Later Life with the experiences you went through with your mum, I think, you know, so personal for you, but so useful for others to read. What was actually happening in your life with your mum that led to this if you like, awakening, this realisation of what you face in older life?
Well, what happened with my mother was about 20 years ago now, and it got me interested in the whole field. But the book, How to Handle Later Life, refers a little bit to one or two things to do with my mother, but in its 1,200 pages, over 1,000 pages, there's a lot more there. I mean, what I realised 20 years ago was how little I knew. What happened was my mother went blind and developed dementia in the late 1990s. And I was suddenly pitched into the world of older people's care and knew absolutely nothing about it. And once I'd secured good care for my mother through the NHS rather than care homes, I managed to get a special kind of funding for her. What I then thought was, lots of other people need to know about this kind of stuff. I want to share what I've found, but also look and see the whole thing in the round, because there were all sorts of things, that decisions my mother took about her property, her money, her transport and so on, where she was living with whom. Her life could have been different and better had she sort of addressed some of these questions. So that's what got me going. But the book is a big book, and I've talked to lots of experts and been involved in the lives of other people since during those 20 years. So,
now, of course, in the last 20 years, things have probably changed with regards to society. I'm thinking 20 years ago, the notion of an old people's home was quite well known. You don't hear that phrase so often now. And perhaps the types of care that's on offer is different as the system has to face people living longer. At the heart of all of this, though, are people, and that does stay constant. So we need to remember that at all times. But you mentioned one sort of the sets of the practical things, and would power of attorney be one of the things that needs to be considered by somebody sort of looking at their later life?
Oh, absolutely. And in fact, I mean, we with my mother, we certainly, my brother and I, got power of attorney. My mother had granted power of attorney.
Now, but can you explain what that is? Because I know for some people, they think it's something to do with after they've died. It's something to do with their will. It's actually for when you're still alive, isn't it?
It's absolutely for when you're still alive. And I mean, what happens, often a solicitor will say when somebody goes to make their will, have you granted power of attorney? So people tend to link the two things, and indeed they are similar. But what you're actually doing is saying, look, if I fall under a bus this afternoon and I lose the mental ability to make key decisions for myself, what happens? Well, if I've already granted power of attorney to somebody, one or more other people, then they would have the power to act for me. And they would have the power in terms of finance and property, but also in the whole area of care. So if, for instance, I was so badly incapacitated I went into a care home, those people would have the right to decide which home, what it was like. They could be involved in all sorts of decisions about the way in which I was looked after.
And if you don't have power of attorney granted to somebody, then It's courts and local authorities that start making the decision.
It is. I mean, the fallback is that the local authority, the social services department, can make decisions, and indeed the health service. But the problem is that if somebody, say, got property, and there is no power of somebody with power of attorney, then somebody else, and it could be a solicitor, it could be a local authority, but it could be a relative, can then apply to the court of protection for the power to act for that person. But that's much more cumbersome than having a power of attorney. And if you're a deputy, say, for your mother, and represent her in that way, you've got to endlessly report to the court of protection, because the thinking is, well, your mother didn't grant you power of attorney, why not? Mm. So this is somebody, so they've got to, understandably enough, keep an eye on you.
It's a conversation that needs to be had, I think, for people, particularly with older relatives, but even people in their middle age. For you to maybe start to think who's going to have power of attorney for you.
Very important, because you could lose mental capacity at any stage.
Exactly. Yes,
you could have an accident, you could have a stroke, you could develop dementia, you could have brain injury, fall off your bike under a car or whatever. So it is terribly important, and it's quite a sophisticated and effective system that we have there. And you don't actually have to involve a solicitor in granting power of attorney. You can get the forms for free.
You can do it yourself.
You can do it yourself. You can do it. And I explain how and how to choose attorneys and so on in my book. Mm. So,
I mean, that is just one thing in a book of over 1,000 pages.
Yeah.
People will understand you cover a whole range of different things. Yeah. Do you see it as a reference book or something that somebody would sit down and read, almost like a novel, because it's written chapter by chapter?
Well, I hope people will read it. I appreciate that people probably won't read it from cover to cover at one sitting, but I have tried to make it readable. And it's not it's not like a sort of encyclopedia with A to Z. It's written in terms of subjects like, well, say with housing, what about moving house when you're older, or if you move, should you go into retirement or sheltered housing or a retirement village? What are the pros and cons? What are the things to consider? What about staying in your own home? And are there ways in which, you can get help with repairing that and maintaining it, perhaps getting some grab rails and various things put in if you have some kind of disability. So I hope that people will look at a whole part like housing or power of attorney and general representation or finance or social contact and read the whole thing. And what I also have is a sort of basic to help people understand is an introductory section in which I describe what happens to our bodies as we get older, and also the special nutritional and exercise and psychological needs of older people. And I hope that will inform general thinking, so that if you, say, go into a care home and you're trying to decide whether it's a good one, say, for your elderly mother or whoever, if you understand that older people in their 80s need 3 or 4 times as much light as a younger person to see as well, then alarm bells would ring in your head if you notice that all the lighting is very dim. Mm. Do you see? So it's that kind of understanding I'm hoping also to impart.
Well, fantastic. Hang around, because there's sort of another string to your bow, as well as writing a couple of books now about older people's issues. You famously before that were a bit of a rambler and one who loved the outdoors and worked indeed for an organisation that's tried to protect rural parts of this country. We shall talk about some of your ramblings and roamings in a couple of minutes. Marion Shaward, and Marion's surname, by the way, Shaard, if you're looking for her books. Shaard, Marion with an O, Shaward.